You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Not sure that's where I'm going to preach, but that's where I'll read a text, okay? The good thing about traveling around, you can just take off anywhere. The hard thing about traveling around is learning how to land an airplane. Everybody raise your hand. Say, Lord, help him land. Don't let him crash. I believe God has ordered my steps because there's somebody in this house that will be changed, not because I'm here, but because of the word of God that he's given me. I don't like to go to a church and preach a brand new sermon. It's a lot easier just to take off on something. But I wrote this out early this morning, so I'm going to share it with you, and we're going to see how it comes out. Everybody ready? I want to talk to you this morning about looking at life through the eyes of a lion. That sounds different, doesn't it? Look with me at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now look at what it says. Paul's saying here, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Say, lose heart. Lose heart means you faint. Means you don't have any breath. It means you've given up. Say it again. Don't lose heart. Now look what he said. Don't lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed every day. For our light affliction. I don't know why he put light there. I've been through some that's not light. But it is light when I compare it to where I'm headed. Anything that happens in this life is always minimal when it's compared to where you're headed. He said this light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and great eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not are eternal. May the Lord bless his word today. Are you ready to receive the word? As I began today, the Lord dropped this in my spirit, so I've got to start this before I really get into my message. I run into a lot of people who don't realize that where we are living has been prophesied for years. And all of a sudden, we look surprised. You know what my surprise is? My surprise is that it's happening so fast I can't keep up with it. We are seeing prophetical events and things fall in place. Look over into Syria. Look in Iran. Look in Israel. Look at everything that's going on. Folks, we're right at the juncture where we're about to leave here. But he did say that there would be tribulation. But I'm glad to tell you, he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He didn't say it would be easy. He didn't say you might not be beheaded. But guess what? You can't lose with what we use. And as we go through this, Paul begins to describe his life as being pressured. And when I begin to read these scriptures, I begin to realize that sometimes I feel like I'm just out of breath. I had a man tell me years ago, and I guess I've come to that age that I've learned it. He said, let me tell you something. It's not that you're tired when you get older. You just don't ever get rested. And sometimes I don't know if I ever get rested or not. You know, it's like the 95-year-old man who worked 8 hours a day. And they interviewed him and said, how in the world do you do that? He looked at him and said, I take a lot of naps. So sometimes we need to draw ourselves aside and strengthen the inner man. They tell me if you are a boxer that you learn what they call a 1-2 punch. That means you give a punch to the head and you give a punch to the abdomen. That means you give another punch to the head and another one to the abdomen. And the goal is that you knock the other guy out. And sometimes when a boxer is strong enough, he keeps hitting his opponent in the solar plexus that all of a sudden he falls and they say he lost his breath. Do you realize he did not lose his breath? What happens is the constant barrage of that fist against his solar plexus paralyzes the nerve that goes to his brain, to his lungs, and tells his lungs to breathe. But don't get upset if you're out of breath and you've lost your breath. It would just be for a moment, because there will be a renewal, because he said the inward man is renewed every single day. That means every day I get up, there's something new for me that God's going to put into my life that's going to help me to do what I need to do in this life. Do I have anybody helping me this morning? Another thing, for some reason this is coming to my mind. I was even looking it up on, aren't you glad for Google? I don't know, you glad I'm said that. That's not part of you, is it? Okay, we'll leave that alone. But I read that they have what they call free diving. Free diving are men and women who are trying to go as deep into the water as they can on one breath. The record is 331 feet. Now, to me, it would be about 3 feet, okay? And then I get excited and say, let me get back to the top. But what they do is a man will sit on the side or the edge of wherever he's at and in the depth of water, and he will be sitting there for a while. And while he's there, he takes a breath. And he takes another breath. And then it's almost like he's gulping it down like you would if you were thirsty. And he's drawing it in, and he's drawing it in, and he's drawing it in. And somebody asked him, said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm preparing my lungs for the depth I'm about to go to. I'm about to go deep, and not only am I going to go deep, I'm about to go dark. And he said, what I'm trying to do is get my lungs. And they tell me that a man who does that, who's very good at it and who broke the record, can increase his lung size to the size of a watermelon. Wow. But they say by the time he gets down to 331 feet, his lungs have shrunk to the size of an orange. What is he doing? He's drawing in enough oxygen to make it through the dark place. You know why you're in church today? You're drawing in enough of the breath of God to get you through the dark place. There may be something coming tomorrow. You better drink deep today, because when you get there, you're going to have enough in your spiritual man. I'm glad to tell you that Jesus, after he resurrected, saw the disciples, and he said, breathed on them and receive the Holy Spirit. It's in the very beginning in Genesis. It said, where he formed man, and he breathed into him. I don't know about you, but I feel like saying, Lord, I need your breath today. Let me take a big gulp of the Holy Spirit in my life today, so I'll be prepared for whatever I face. No extra charge for that. That was just an extra added attraction that I felt like the Lord had for. Did anybody need that today? Good. Let's look at these scriptures. And I began to study the eyes of a lion. It's hard for me to go back up there to my notes. I don't like going back up there, and I may have to, because this is new. The eyes of a lion are like this. The eyes of a lion have an ability to see a long way off. That's why they're so good at what they do. You know that your eyes have somewhere within in the cornea and in the eye 150 million? Like what they call cones, and what they call, I forgot the other one. Rods. Thank you. I need help today. I'm going to go back up here to my notes. Rods help you see shapes. Cones help you see colors. You know how to explain that? Sometimes when I get up in the morning, it's early and it's still dark, and I'm trying to put on a pair of socks that's supposed to be black, and I end up at church and they're blue. Because my eyes tell me those are socks, but it does not tell me they are blue or black. Then I have to get a flashlight. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then by the time you get out in daylight, it's not what you thought it was. But your eyes have the ability to see shapes when it's just dark. Do you know sometimes that's why I think the enemy makes us afraid of the dark? How many remember when you were a kid and your mom or dad sent you out in the dark, out in the backyard somewhere to get something? By the time you turned around before you got to that back door, something was after you. you knew it. Man, you look back and you see an image of a tree, and the next day you realize it was just a tree or whatever it was there. See, it allows you to see shapes, and it allows you to see colors. Sometimes if we're not careful, we get so distressed in life, all we see are the shapes, and we never see the beautiful colors of God. Whew. Y'all got a minute? The Lord's giving me something right now. I never even thought of this till right now. Sometimes we get distressed with people, and we deal with unforgiveness and hurt. And I know it. This is a different church. Y'all are a perfect church, so take it to somebody else. And sometimes we get so hurt that when we come to church, all we see is shapes. And when you see shapes, all you do, you can just walk by them. You know, we're in the same church. We may even sit on the same pew, but I'm just going to kind of wave at you today. Hello? It's time to get your colorness back. It's time to be able to see that God created every one of us as a different person, and we all have different colors. And I'm not just talking about the color of the skin. I'm talking about the color of your soul. I'm talking about that color within you that God has created you. Can I tell somebody something this morning? God created you, and He don't make mistakes. He knows who you are. He knows where you are, and He knows how He created. Let your colors come out. Let somebody see. My goodness, this thing's getting bigger. We got to keep going. You see, the eyes of a lion, they catch the colors coming in, and they have a reflective substance that you can also, they see the colors going. We can only see them coming in. As humans, they can see them both. So they get to see both. That's why they're so good at what they see. Now understand what's going on. In an eyes of a lion, God, if you'll notice, when you go back and you look at a picture, a lion has a white streak under his eyes. That is the opposite of what a football player does. A football player puts black there to keep the glare off. What a lion, God, isn't it God good? My goodness, He created this animal with an ability to have the white substance, which gives it better reflectivity, so he can see where he's going and see the prey that he's headed toward. Is everybody still getting this? You understand, it's time to see life through the eyes of a lion. See, he can see at a great distance. He has the ability to focus on something much quicker than we can. And he has that ability. I'm saying, Lord, give me the eyes of a lion. Let me see what you're doing. Let me look beyond what I'm seeing and see that God has his hand on everything in my life. You say, whoo, my. I'm going to go back up here because if I wrote it down, it must be good enough to give to you, okay? When you see this, his eyes, he's long-sighted. He has the reflective surface. His pupils are 3 times larger, so he has the ability to focus much quicker than we do. He has a better vision of light that is available. Here's what the Lord gave me to write down for you. Look at what there is. Now listen to this. Look at what is there, but still believe what God says is there. Hey, I got to say that again. Somebody needs to make a note of that. That's pretty good. See, look at what is there, but remember what God said would be there. Whew. Amen. I need a louder amen. This is bothering me because I feel like I'm tired, but I want to get this to you. You realize I'm trying to put something in somebody. If you're writing notes this morning, I'm going to give you 4 points. Number one, you've got to look beyond where you are. Look back with me to verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not are eternal. Everything you see in this building will die, dissipate, or rot away, or be destroyed. Everything you see with this eye that God has given you, it will be gone. But I got news for you. When it's all gone, I'll still be alive. I like the old pastor who walked out, who was at the point of death, and he walked out to the mountain, and he looked at that big old giant mountain. He said, let me tell you something, mountain. You may be standing tall today, but when you're gone, I'll still be alive. When you're not here anymore, I'll be living. You see, you got to look from where we are to where we're going. Because it's tough, folks. Years ago, a lady was vacuuming her house. While she was vacuuming her house, She had a little canary who was sitting on his perch and swing, and he was just making beautiful music. All of a sudden, she said, you know what? The quickest thing I can do is open that cage and take the nozzle and just vacuum out all that stuff. Well, when she did, the phone rang. And a woman and a phone, a woman can't stand a ringing phone. Come on, ladies. A man will say, what? Is that a phone? I didn't hear it. And you heard it four blocks away. Now listen, she said, she reached over to pick up the phone. And when she did, she heard, boom. The little canary's name was Chippy, and little Chippy was gone. She rushed over to the vacuum cleaner, opened it up, and she reached in and brought out little Chippy, and little Chippy was just covered over with dirt. And she looked at him and said, I got to help him. She took him into the bathroom, put him under the faucet, and now little Chippy, he's drippy. He looked so bad, she said, I know what I'll do. I'll get my hair dryer, and I'll dry him off. Now little Chippy, who was drippy, is now poofy. She put him back on the perch. Hey, we just sat there. He didn't sing anymore. He just sat and stared. She called the veterinarian and said, I don't understand. And she told him what happened. He said, listen, ma'am, if you had been sucked in, covered over, washed up and blown up, you wouldn't be singing either. Amen. Does anybody identify with that? Sometime I've been sucked in, covered over, amen, washed up and blown up. And sometimes I may come to church and I just sit and stare. Don't you worry about me. God is still going to give me my song back. Something may have taken it away, but it's still down deep inside of me, and I will be singing again. You know why? I'm not looking at this present time. I'm looking at where I'm headed, and I know I can't lose. Come on, give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. Now, when we look back at this, a lion looks beyond. You got to look beyond where you are. You got to live with an earnest expectation. Romans 8 and 19 says this, for with earnest expectation, the creation eagerly awaits. Look at this. Whew. I'm going to put my translation on that. You know what the Amplified says? The Amplified says eagerly. It says they stand on their tiptoes. Whew. You ever been to a parade or something you couldn't see? Right? I don't know why it is when I go, the tallest person in the world shows up. And they wear a hat that's taller than a 10-gallon hat. And I'm doing this, and I still can't see. You know, y'all identifying with me, aren't you? But the reason you stand on your tiptoes is you want to see beyond where you are. Ooh. What is that saying? It's earnest expectation that says, Lord, it's tough. I don't agree with the gay agenda. I don't agree with gay marriage. I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with everything that's going on, but I'm standing on my tiptoes. Woo. Why am I standing on my tiptoes? I'm looking for what's coming. Glory, I know there's something coming. It's time for the church to get on her tiptoes. A lion never walks except on his tiptoes. Oh, come on. You know why? He's always on his tiptoes because he never knows when he's going to see some lunch. Hello? He's ready. You see, stay on your tiptoes, church, because you never know what's coming. I can't wait to tell you something's coming. Woo! I feel the Holy Spirit in this house, and he's alive. Oh, do you understand that I'm on my tiptoes because I know what's coming? I know the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Get on your tiptoes. This is not the end. This is just our beginning. See, you've got to look beyond where you are. You've got to stand on your tiptoes so you can see what's out there. Now, don't get like this little boy. He'd never been to the circus. So his dad gave him, I don't know, maybe $5, whatever it cost to get in. He said, here, son, go to the circus. So as he's going to the circus, He sees a parade. And he stands there on his tippy toes. Alabama term, understand tippy toes. And he's trying to look, and he sees the elephants, he sees the giraffes, he sees the hippopotamus, he sees the lions, he sees the clowns, he sees the trapeze artist. He sees, it's all going. And all of a sudden, it's at the end of the parade, he goes up to the last clown, and he hands him the $5. You know why? He thought he had seen the circus, and he'd only seen the parade. See, there are churches in church right now who are giving $5 for the parade. I'm not happy with the parade. I'm going to the circus. Uh-oh, you get a woo out of me. I'm going now. Folks, I'm not happy with the parade. I'm not interested in what you wore to church. I don't care how your hair was done. I don't care all those things that you did to make yourself. I'm glad you did, because we'd look a mess. But let me tell you, that's not why I'm here. I'm here because I'm going beyond the parade. I'm going to the real main event. And I'm right now in the presence of God. Amen. Come on, give him praise, church. See, a lion stands on his tiptoes. Now let me give you number three. Learn the language of no fear. Brother Coker, it's amazing to me. I've been preaching almost 49 years. You can add it up. I started when I was 7, so now, you know. Lord, forgive me. I don't know how many people on Facebook, email, Brother Sergeant, what do you think about what's going on? And all of a sudden, I hear in their writing or their voice, fear. Don't be afraid. See, that's a tactic of the enemy. It's fear. You got to learn. Now, listen to me. You got to learn the language of no fear. Yeah, but it's all falling apart. You still can't lose. You cut my head off today, I automatically, I'm in heaven. Oh, my goodness, folks, do you understand what a good thing we got going on? Somebody the other day said, I don't know why the Lord lets all these people get killed in schools. I like the answer, because we ran him out of the schools. If he was there, it probably wouldn't be happening. I remember going to school and reading the 23rd Psalm. I remember praying before class. I remember the Pledge of Allegiance. If the Pledge of Allegiance offends you, go somewhere else. This is God's country. We are God's people, and I'm not going to let fear override my life. Boy, I like this TV. It's still on page one. That's good. Don't let fear overtake you. Lions are the most social cat on the planet. Oh, that's why what they call them, you know what they call their get-together? A pride. You know what that means? If you mess with one in the pride, you got the whole tribe. It's time for Christians to stand up and protect one another. Hello? It's time we stand up together. See, you don't mess with a pride of lions. Amen? Did anybody watch a football game yesterday? Hold your hand up. I'm going to give an altar call for the rest of you. You acting so innocent. Why do football teams win? Pride. I know who I am. I'm wearing my shirt. Look at a stadium. Pride. Hello? What does that say? At Summerton Church today, they're having a tailgate party. Everybody wears their shirt. If I were some teams, I don't know if I'd want to wear them, okay? But what are you saying when you wear that shirt? This is my team. This is my group. Is it possible I could have a whole bunch of shirts made up and we could all wear them and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a part of a group. You mess with me, you got more to mess with. Hey, you mess with me, you don't just have the people around me. You got the God seated on the throne. You mess with me, you better know who you're messing with. Amen? Now see, what happens in a pride of lions, you have the male who has the beautiful mane. And then you have the female who doesn't have a mane at all. I got to preach to somebody right here. Everybody still listening? Listen. Sometimes you may not have the beautiful mane like somebody else has, but God still has a job for you. Sometimes we get caught up in what we don't have. Ooh, I'm preaching so good. We get caught up in what I don't have and what they have. Hey, let me tell you about the female lion or lioness. You know what she does? The reason she doesn't have a mane is she can hide in the bushes. And while she hides in the bushes, the big old guy goes hunting. And what he does, he gets behind like a wallaby or a gazelle, and they're all there in a group. He's over here. The lioness is hid in the bushes, and he puts his nose against the ground, and you can hear his roar for 5 miles. And what do you think those animals are going? Oops, they run away from the roar. But when they do, they are running to a trap. This may not make sense to somebody. I don't know what's going in your life, but quit running away from the roar. The enemy's using that roar. Ooh, he's using the roar to scare you. But let me tell you something. Don't run away from the roar, because he's got a trap waiting on you. Now, I don't know why you go through what you're going through. I don't know why what's happening in your life. I don't know what's going on, but I do know one thing. Don't allow the enemy to roar so loud you run away from where you're supposed to be. Come on. It's time we realize that God is in control. When the enemy roars, I tune my ears toward heaven and I hear the King of Kings give a loud roar. This is my child. I will take care of him. Come on, church, give him praise. Come on, give him some loud praise. Oh, glory. Are y'all getting this? See, we don't understand that we have to suffer. John 21, Jesus, of course, had that big conversation with Peter. You love me, you love me, you love me. Yes, yes, yes. Then Jesus looked at Peter and said, you're going to suffer. You're going to die. Peter, it's going to get rough for you. And he started following Jesus, and when he did, he looked back, and there was John. Sounds just like a bunch of us. You know what he said? He said, well, what about John? It's the only time in Scripture I can find that Jesus said, that's none of your business. He said, what's that to you? Translation, that's none of your business. You got to take care of yourself. Quit worrying about the person who don't suffer as bad as you do. Quit worrying about the person who's not going through what you're going through. Put your eyes on Jesus and keep moving with him. Oh, somebody's getting it. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Take hold of this word and let God put it in your heart so that you will know. You got a little more time. Y'all give me another 2 or 3 minutes? How many will give me 3 minutes? 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. In Mark chapter 5, don't be ashamed of me, okay? In Mark chapter 5, it's the demoniac, and all of you know the demoniac. He was delivered of all those demons. Hey, folks, you know you got demons when you're breaking chains and cutting yourself and running through the graveyard. You know, either that or you're getting ready for Halloween, one or the other. So. Jesus comes by. He gets delivered. And he turns and he says to Jesus, I'm going with you. Strange. Go back and read it. In Mark chapter 5, he turns back to the man and says, no, you can't go with me. Go back to your friends and tell them. Sometimes your assignment is right where you live. Did you hear me? Sometimes we're looking way out there, but when I get over there, I better not get into that. But when I, no, you have an assignment right where you are. Can I tell you something? God gives his most difficult assignments to his most trusted soldiers. So the reason you got it is because he trusts you. How many are glad that he trusts you? Amen? Whew. Y'all still with me? I'll close this thing out. Let me give you the last one. The last point I've written up here is look through the eyes of faith. Look through the eyes of faith. Now listen, folks. There's a lot of things you can see through these eyes. You're the one that has to focus. You're the one that has to make up your mind. You're the one that says, I'm not going to have a blind spot in my life. See, we're good at the church in having a blind spot for ourselves. Ooh, that's good preaching too. See, you know, I love traveling and preaching. I can just mess everything up and just leave. Your pastor will be here. He can handle it, okay? But they tell me if you put two dots on a piece of paper, you'll try it when you get home. Don't try it while I'm preaching. It will look funny. But you can put two dots there and put it here till you see them. And there's a certain place you'll get that you can only see one dot. It's called a blind spot. Say blind spot. And I'm saying, Lord, don't let me have a blind spot toward myself. Let me come to you in humble submission. Because, Lord, I'm not perfect. Lord, I got flaws in my life. Let me get it out of my own eye. Don't let me judge somebody else. Lord, that's between you and them. Hello? We've got to understand. We've got to see through spiritual eyes and go beyond the shapes and see the colors that God has for us. You will not stay where you are. Now, y'all told me a moment ago, you gave me about 15 more minutes. I won't take it all, but the Holy Spirit's bringing something to my mind. How many has ever heard of the 23rd Psalm? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A little girl years ago was asked to get up and recite it. That's back when we took it out of schools. She stood up and she was so nervous. She said, the Lord is my shepherd and that's all I want. And sat down. And I got to thinking about that. That's good. That's pretty good preaching, folks. The Lord's my shepherd. That's all I want. Somebody say, that's all I want. But if you go back and do this later, Psalm 23, of course, is the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody understands that. Psalm 22 talks about the suffering of Christ, and he went to the cross of Calvary. Psalm 24 talks about who is the King of Glory and Mount Zion. You know what I'm telling you? Over here in Psalm 22 is where he died, and I've been over there to Psalm 22 to Mount Calvary. I'm over here in Psalm 23, and I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know where I'm going? I'm going to Psalm 24. Because I know who my Redeemer is, and I know he's alive, and I know I may be in this valley, but I'm going to the mountaintop of Mount Zion. Does everybody know where you're headed? See, in life, we don't understand things, but we got to look through the eyes of a lion. About 3 or 4 years ago, a pastor up in Montana, he and his wife were out, and he had 4 kids, and they were out, and his daughter at that time, I think, was 5 years old. She was stricken very immediately with asthma. They took her to the doctor. I've heard this man report this, and it breaks my heart every time I hear it. He said he took her to the hospital to put her in the emergency room, put all the machines on her. And they finally came out and said to the couple, there's no hope. She's gone. They got in their car. He said, you know, if you've never been through that, you don't have a clue. I don't want to know what it's like, folks. I feel for people who have to, but I don't know what it's like to lose a child. And they got home, and they said they prayed, and they were together. He's a pastor up there, and he was praying. They were saying, oh, Lord, they were just weeping, which is what I would do. The phone rang. He picks up the phone, and it was the hospital. He said, oh, my goodness, the Lord's answered my prayer. They're going to call us and tell us she's alive. But he said, the next words I heard were, this is a hard question to ask you, but can we have your daughter's eyes? Now, folks, that's tough. It's tough enough to give them up and then think somebody cutting on that cornea. And he looked at his wife, and they called him back after they prayed and said, yes. Here's what I want to show you. One little girl gave her life, and here's what happened. 2 blind people can now see. Isn't that wonderful? God always has colors in the rainbow, folks. It's not all in black and white. What are you trying to tell me today, Brother Sergeant? I'm trying to tell you that years ago, a father in heaven sent his only son, gave him up that he may die on a cross. You know why? So that I was blind and now I can see. I'm like the man in the Bible. I can't explain. They said, who was it? He said, I don't know, but I want to tell you one thing. I used to be blind and I'm not blind anymore. I was blind in sin, but now I can see. Do I have any praisers that Jesus came and set us free? Glory. Glory. Come on, give him some more praise. Stand to your feet and give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, your word is going forth. You gave this to me for one person, if only just one. You knew they'd be here. You knew I would be here before I knew it. And Lord, you've ordered my steps and you've ordered their steps. And you know what they're facing. You know what they're going through. Open their eyes that they can see that you're still in control. You still are in control. You are directing their life. And what the enemy wants to use to destroy, you're going to turn it to good. You're going to reverse the curse today, and you're going to set at liberty them that are bruised. You're going to open the blinded eyes. You're going to bring life into those who are just about dead. Look at me now. If you have a need in your life, doesn't matter to me. If you need to be saved, what a great time to get saved. If you need to be healed, what a great day to get healed. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, what a day to be filled. You need to just be refreshed and take in some more deep celestial air. This is your day, folks. Because the more you get that breath in your spiritual lungs, the deeper you can go out there. Aren't you glad for the breath of God? Amen. So as they begin to play and sing or whatever they do, if you have a need in your life, this altar's open. You come up forward in Jesus' name.